Aren't they suing him? Can't they get legal aid? Are we supposed to count to 10 or something? We don't have to do all that. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Okay, so you're going to give a presentation for us then? Great.
So you need relatively short turns and
Yeah.
speaker change.
Yeah. But short turns and like or something very similar might be the second type of inductivity. That might not be analyzed as a mark as a die not a style but as a mark. Yeah. So for that kind of back channels we can just skip that and do not treat them as interruptions or something like that. Yeah, we could just
So am I right in thinking you think that you can segment meetings maybe into two types of areas,
Yeah.
interactive and non-interactive? So
Yeah.
what are the characteristics of the interactive areas?
Speak change would
So,
be
okay, so but you just said, I think that you would characterize short terms as being the non-interactive parts.
if it's just some kind of back channel or it's just a signal oh the speaker is listening or is
Oh,
answering
okay.
the
Well,
signal.
we can discount back channels. I mean,
Yeah.
is it okay if we talk about this for a minute? Because I'm confused. Or
I was just wondering if you were going to define this more on the slides to come, or if this is as much as you're going to tell us. I'm just wondering if he's
Because if this
prepared.
is all we've got, I think we should have interactive and non-interactive on the board and then figure out what properties go in each, just so we're clear what the two mean.
Sure. So what did you have more on later slides about this?
For interactive activities, this is only slides. So
Okay.
activities, I define interactivity to be is a degrees of interaction in meetings. So
Well,
which
okay.
might speak change would be a very good indicator.
But you need to be more precise what you mean by speaker change. So, do you
Yeah.
mean all of the speakers are involved in it?
No.
Is it sufficient for two
No.
speakers? Got it.
Yeah.
And
No.
then.
Yeah. So actually, this is a very rough idea of interactivity. If we go further, we might distinguish as interactivity between two, three, or all the groups. So that might be some final definition for the interactivity.
But we've also established that it's not just speaker change, because if you have okay,
Yeah. So that might
then
be the second class. Yeah.
okay,
We
but that's a,
that's
you
kind of
can
we.
Okay.
that's definitional, right?
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't necessarily consider that to change the turns. Those are just back channels. So one speaker will have the full
Right.
channel
Yeah.
throughout that. And so I guess what you're saying is that the interactive sections would have shorter speaker turns when you're not considering the back channels as interactive.
Definitely, yeah.
Well, it might be the case that to be interactive, there have to be dialogue acts of some specific type in a turn rather than
Actually, because I've looked
Well,
like statement, reject, accept, something like
that is
that.
sufficient but not necessary, maybe. But if you had a bunch of people all just giving information and opinion around the table and they never actually ask questions of each other,
Okay,
but the
so
turns
for
were
that case,
actually quite short,
yeah,
which
so
one
this
is it?
might be a weak definition of interactivity. So if we could figure out if they are really interacting with each other or just incremental presentation of some information, so that's different. We might
Well, actually, I don't quite agree. I mean, for example, you can't use RST across speakers because the definitions of the relations depend on the intentions of the speaker, and there's different speakers have different intentions. So you can't use the theory. It's just fundamentally wrong. It was meant as a theory for one person. Right. So that doesn't mean there aren't other theories. So for... Yeah. Right, but those are really different theories that are trying to get at different things, and they admit of, you know, some of them admit of multiple parties and some of them assume you're in one speaker's head. Right? And mm-hmm. Yeah, the entire theory is based on intention and the intention of one individual. So RST would be a bad theory to use. So modeling a single contribution by a single speaker, you can within that you can use RST if you want to, right? But across speakers, you can't. They have no relations for things like reject. Or agree. The theory doesn't have them.
Okay,
so it's not the right theory because the theory is the relations plus the notion of nuclearity. So we need a different theory. Now I think Alex SDRS allows both kinds. So you know, within a speaker turn, you can have things like explanation and cause and all that, but then across speaker turns you can have things like correction, or I didn't see any examples of agree or disagree in SDRS, but there aren't. I mean, there are 30 relations, so we should look at what they are, but I don't. Well, the relations have a... Yes, but so, I mean, the relation names, it's not the names that are important, it's their semantics that are important, right? And the semantics of the relations are based on the semantics of the utterances that they're relating, as Alex explained yesterday. And so it is important that these relations have a semantics that's tied to the semantics of the utterances, right? Possibly, but few people have tried to, you know, do the kind of truth conditional semantics that, you know, Asher and Lascarides have done, Right. So the theory can handle the kinds of things that happen in meetings, as she explained. The actual computational mechanisms they have currently for building up the trees can't. Now, I don't remember which speaker, in the example she showed yesterday, was it the case that the representation of the utterances and the relations included which speaker was? I mean, it had at the leaves, they had the, well, she didn't show it, but they would have the semantics of the utterances. And then she had relation names and handles. Right, I just didn't remember seeing in the representation which speaker contributed what, because she did represent discourse structures, because these were the verb mobile scheduling dialogues. So the utterances in the representation were uttered by two different parties. It wasn't in the example she showed us, there was some that was just, you know, one party. It was a monologue, but then there was a snippet of dialogue as well with. For this specific set of relations that they've defined, there might be some higher level structure that you want to pull out of that. I mean, because you were saying you're just going to, you want to look at this, you know, very local stuff, but from that, one would hope you would pull out something high, you know. No, I think working from the bottom up sounds great, but you can imagine someone saying, well, how did they decide to make it blue? And maybe there was a long blow, and you kind of want to abstract away from, he said this, she said that, he said, you know, too. Anyway, I don't think, especially, you know, if you're not steeped in these theories, that it makes a huge difference to you whether we use RST or something like SDRS, but it might make much more, you know, I mean. Well, I think we should try to find a theory that allows multiple speakers and relations to span over more than one because it is true that, I mean, if you look at things like Damsel and other attempts to come up with annotation schemes for dialogue acts, there was this notion of forward looking and backward looking. Anyway, they're relational. I mean, in some way, you know, they're all relational. But there's a different set of tags in there from the kinds of relations you see within RST, for example. So if you look at Amanda Stent's thesis and the analysis that she did, sort of within a turn, she used something like RST. And then across turn, she used Damsel. Right. Well, it gives you things like accept and reject and. Oh, yeah. In fact, RST doesn't give you anything like that. Okay. Right.
I'm not saying if this particular set of tags or relations
Right, okay. So I think it's much more important. I think it would make more sense to go about this problem figuring out what kinds of relationships we want, and then finding, and you know, like setting down what the constraints are on the analysis scheme. He's been looking at the data. Okay, good. And then there are lots of different theories of argument. I mean, you can also think about the sort of joint problem solving kinds of approaches. So, you know, Clark and Lockbaum and, you know, that kind of thing. That were designed for dialogue, right? I mean, and can be expanded to more than two persons. Actually, the Lockbaum stuff is for groups.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just going to say it would be useful to know what.
If you've got books that high in which ones are they?
Yeah, so yeah, for this cost analysis, they're using exchange but so they have no classification. Just
but who's they? That's the question.
You mean,
who?
Right.
Yeah.
initiation introduces a new discourse goal, and a response meets or negates that goal in some way.
Mm.
So have you tried marking these exchanges?
Not marking, just on my reading of the EU. I asked what I'm looking for things just to read the part of the EU.
Well, I mean, I think that I don't know, it'd probably be good to hear, you know, more of your presentation, because I think there are lots of different candidates, and you certainly can't go through and mark up every meeting, I mean, mark up meetings with every scheme we think of. So I think we have to kind of get an overview of what the candidates are, and if there's like two or three that we think are good contenders, then we try to see what works better, right?
But a reading of this, you know, could tell you that there is no case where you're going to be looking for initiation and responses that's going to work. Because you could go through and see that actually the pattern of addressing the discourse goals is too dispersed to be able to do that kind of work. But obviously, when
there are a lot of options. There are a lot more options. So let's see what else you've got. Oh, so that was it on dialogue. Okay.
No further information.
Okay. So it's very unclear to me why you think exchange of information is more principled. Did you have specific schemes in mind there? Or specific people's work that you were can you give us an example of a scheme that's based on exchange of information? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I mean, I think that there are a lot of things that we have to look at before, I mean, yeah, I mean, and well, we're marking up a lot of higher level things in our.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Okay, so have you looked at Nate Blaylock's work? So he has things like, you know, adopt. So basically, it's to, you know, collaborative problem solving, you know, more than one person involved, and trying to characterize things as, you know, if I can't remember I can't remember the names of all the actions. No, so the Coconut Project is a project that I did with Rich Thomason and Barbara Diagino. Have you looked at that? Not very clear. No. Well, there's a lot of detail in the paper, but you haven't looked at it in very much detail. Okay, so I think you should, because it was all these things that are done for joint problem solving and joint action, I think, are very relevant to look at because these people are solving a problem together, right? So while these schemes may not have, they have some of the essential components that you need to characterize joint problem solving. So while you may think that they're missing something, then we could certainly augment them, but I think that they have to be looked at. And so Nate Blaylock tried to, okay, so, you know, from Gross and Krauss and Gross and Seidner came all this stuff about shared plans and how you really can't understand, you know, dialogue unless you understand shared plans. But the actual theoretical or formalization of it was incredibly complex. And so Lockbaum simplified it quite, and, you know, Seidner and Rich and Collagen have simplified it quite a bit. But Nate Blaylock tried to, you know, define, you know, what happens after somebody suggests something. Well, you can adopt it, you can, I can't remember, you know, okay, but he has a taxonomy. Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly, right? Which we tried to apply to tutoring, but it actually doesn't work very well for tutoring because tutoring is just a totally different ball game. But you know, we spent a fair amount of time looking at it, and it did strike me that for joint problem solving, there were some good ideas, and there is, you know, a set of tags and what they mean, and, you know, that sort of thing. And then you can also look at, you know, Clark on joint action. Now, he's not going to give you a set of tags because that's not the kind of guy he is, but the overarching idea, you know, I mean, I think accounts for a lot of the ways in which you know, these other people are thinking. But I mean, I think that we basically have to merge some of this stuff that's been done, you know, on meetings with some of the stuff that's been done on collaborative problem solving, because there's elements of each that seem really important. And I think because it really seems to me that, you know, if you look at, and some of this stuff on exchange is like ancient, and, you know, they didn't have the ability to mark up lots of data and count things, you know. So, I mean, all the conversational analysis stuff, I mean, those guys never count anything, you know. I mean, so they see a pattern and they think it's kind of cute, and then they scour the world for third turn repairs, you know. They don't actually say how often do those happen. I mean, I mean, I know Manny Shagloff really well, and they're not counters. They're purposely not counters. They define themselves as non-counters. Yeah, I mean, it does seem like, you know, there's something that we want from that, and then there's something that we want from collaborative problem solving. And if you take the exchange stuff, it's not going to quite do everything you want. And if you look at the collaborative problem solving stuff, maybe it won't do everything that you want. And so
or You do require different, different kinds of relations, or you expect different kinds of relations from some overarching set in different aspects of these.
So the main answer is that it might be some high level problem solving decision making concepts, not like the exchange, which I would like to be very low level.
So what's the high level version again?
The meeting actions might be some.
Right, okay. The meeting actions is just going to be a segmentation. It's not going to present any microstructure.
Okay.
So it's just going to say from here to here they're doing something. That's
all. Like somebody's writing on the whiteboard, or, I mean, the meeting actions they presented at the review seemed really low level to me, like somebody stood up.
That's individual actions. And the meeting actions are meant to become more semantic and more theoretical.
Okay.
Kind of traditional news.
Okay. Okay.
So we need to still preserve some sense of the activity, but rather than saying that somebody's at the whiteboard.
Okay. I mean, I realize it's important to recognize that, you know, Wei-Ching got up and went to the whiteboard. I realize that's important, you know,
yeah.
But I was kind of surprised that those were meeting actions, so.
Yeah,
okay.
So, the meeting actions that you're talking about, I think, might be built from the exchange. At least the exchange might be one kind of involved in the mission.
Well, you might need the meeting segmentation in order to know where what area you're circumventing. So it's just exchange structure in this area that you're looking at, and that's a solid boundary between the next groups. I don't know.
Well, I think we should approach it both ways. I mean, you know, you know, the meeting browser people have a lot of constraints, and so what they end up with saying is most critical for them right now might not be the most interesting thing in the longer term. And so, right. I mean, people have said over and over again that they would like to understand how a decision has evolved, right? And I think that, well, I don't know if all of this low-level stuff would allow you to track that kind of thing, but it might at least be the building blocks of allowing you to track that kind of thing. And yeah, some higher level, yeah. So, I mean, I think it's clear that something at this level needs to be there. I mean, and to ask questions like who disagreed or were there any counter proposals or whatever, even those kind of questions, you need some kind of markup like this. Well, that brings up something interesting, because I think probably what we should do is try to get, you know, some of these tasks sort of put on, you know, sort of as part of the official agenda. So being able to answer questions like, were there any counterproposals to the, banana shape or whatever, or to some specific, you know, recommendation and things like that. I mean, you know, those, you know, strike me as clear things that, you know, people who go to decision-making meetings want to know if they've missed one or arriving late or anything like that. So it seems like we should probably get some of these things on the official agenda and say, look, you know, wouldn't it be nice if you could have answers to these questions?
Yeah.
Or something. No, so, and I think we wouldn't want to necessarily do this on ICSI data. I think the ICSI data is too complex, and there aren't enough real decisions made, you know, that you could clearly identify. I mean, there are some, but, and not that I've read more than about two meetings, but I think, you know, well, so one thing that's going to be interesting is the what can you do? Because presumably the DFKI folk or somebody is going to mark up a lot of the data with sort of tags about ontology, right? So we know, you know, somebody will have gone in by hand and sort of marked up something like shallow semantic-y kinds of things, right? Or maybe deeper semantic-y things, but you know, not really in a formal language, but mostly just, you know, tags, right? And then the question is, well, how does, you know, just the way people typically do this is, you know, let's take these semantic features into, or these features into account and see how well we do with the learning, and then let's throw these features out and see how well we do. Because we know we're going to have them because one or two sites is really are really interested in this ontology stuff, right? I mean, TNO is and DFKI is, right? So there will be some kind of domain semantics, and there will also be presumably some kind of task hierarchy modeling going on in, I mean, because the whole browser working group final sort of presentation on that second day was about, you know, knowing the task, right? And very, you know, details about which task is this, you know, which subtask is this little chunk of the meeting addressing and furthering in various ways, right? Which seems like it would be really hard in an open domain. You remember when Steve came in, Steve Whitaker came in at the end and said, you know, they'd spent the morning talking and they came up with this idea. No, they said people are talking about tasks, you know. I mean, they really, they made it clear that they were, that they was going to be heavily. No, those are the scenarios. Those are the user scenarios. The task, what he came back and said that, at the end, I mean, it actually kind of scared me because it was all based around tasks.
Okay,
well. And the domain tasks, okay, they now have to decide how many buttons to put on this thing. I mean, it was all about the domain task.
Okay.
And it is really, and given that, it's really scary to think about what you could possibly do in an open domain where you don't know what the tasks are. And I don't think you're going to be able to figure them out very reliably. I do, but the whole project is, you know, focused on AMI Hub data as their first priority. No. But I mean, if They had this sort of epiphany at the end of this meeting where they decided, well, why are people browsing this? Well, it's all to see how, you know, how the participants were furthering their tasks. Well, right, and then, yes, and then there was this confusion about the last Spiderphone conference that the messages telling people to call came out after the meeting happened, at least to some of us. So, I mean, we'll get that back on track, but I think that we don't, you know, there will be some meeting browser demo that, you know, I think it's an interesting question of, okay, well, if you have knowledge, here's what you can do. If you don't have that knowledge, you have to do different things. And, you know, you can't necessarily.
So you're advising that you should be using like any ontologies and propositional content that DFKI and TNO Bank in the CVS repository, or
Well, I think when he does when he does learn these learning experiments, he should do them two ways, because he will have this opportunity with or without, and then we can see, like, well, without, these tags. So, Alex was showing yesterday, well, without knowing the head word of the utterance of the leaf, you get these kinds of results, and when you add that in, you get these other kinds of results. And I think, yeah. So I think if we have those features, it's a rare opportunity that you can try one head to head against the other. And then, of course, to make sure that you really, right. Well, we won't use them till they're ready, obviously. So we might do the sort of open domain. Although it will be a closed domain. We can't use any domain information necessarily. There probably are a bunch of issues, like if you've got 100 hours of meetings and they all talk about a lot of the same things. Then it's not really open domain, and somehow that sneaks into all the statistics anyway, because you don't have such a wide vocabulary, and right. Sure, so we might find that when we move from what we thought was open domain, but on the hub, our results go down when we truly are getting meeting, yeah. So, that'll be interesting. Okay, well, that's good. So, okay, so we want to decide what Wei Qing should do next, and maybe think about meeting in, I don't know, a month or something. Yeah. So before we do that, can I just ask you a question about chunking? In the beginning, you said something about you were doing this chunking, and you're doing it on the ICSI data, but this was, did you say it wasn't picked up in AMI, or I was confused about. And you haven't done it yet. That's fine. So that's still on the agenda to do at some point. Yeah, exactly. That's. Well, so I mean, right, or building blocks. I mean, we have to think about how chunking interacts with the automatic segmentation, because Barbara was showing the low level. And I mean, it seems to me that chunking should have some kind of. So if your dialogue X segmenter says there's a segment here, but your chunker said no, this is a coherent chunk, then I mean, maybe they could work together to do a better job than. Right. Yeah. Periods. Oh, after verb. Right. Okay. Right, okay. Good. So it sounds like, well. Well, how much ammo? Well, you wanted to do the chunking on the ammo data, right? Because. So we got stuck at some point on evaluation of chunking, right? The problem was you didn't have ICSI data that was hand labeled for chunks. And we decided labeling the ICSI data for chunks would be probably difficult and maybe not very useful. And so okay, if there was hand labeled data that you could evaluate against, so train on some and evaluate on some, wouldn't that, because you've trained on Switchboard, right, where there are chunks. So if you had some ICSI data that you could maybe use, I don't know, there's a training set, and then there's the development set, and then there's the test set. Maybe you'd use some chunked ICSI stuff as development or something, do some last tweaks, and then evaluate. But, you know, I mean, I can see why Wei Qing didn't want to spend his time chunking ICSI. Which means we have to get some portion of the data hand chunked. How much in Switchboard? Switchboard is all chunked,
yeah.
Right? Right. Well. No, you had Penn tree bank parses, and you made chunks from that. Is anybody going to parse? Anybody going to try to parse the AMI data? Well, they're using the ERG, right? Which probably has has finer grained distinctions than, and different labels than the Penn tree bank. It's probably easy to dumb down the HPSG parse too, because the Penn tree bank parses are pretty minimal because they didn't want to commit to a specific grammatical theory. So, I mean, it probably is worth looking at, because they're doing this with Dan Flickinger, right? Which is the same parser as the Redwoods tree bank was made with, that Alex talked about yesterday. So you can look at Redwoods parses and see how different they are from tree bank parses. And you might want to talk to Alex to find out if somebody's already done this, turn Redwood stuff into tree bank stuff so that they can compare, you know, against results that are reported on TreeBank. Well, that was the idea, I believe, but it was supposed to be another tree bank. Well, a good thing about that is that then you know that when you go through and parse, you'll be getting the same chunks as when you do this process automatically. Because the problem when you go through and hand do it is then suddenly you introduce your automatic method and your accuracy can go way down. I mean, sometimes it doesn't. If, you know, sort of for part of speech tagging, you know, whether you do it by hand or machine, it's pretty much the same accuracy, right? But they talked about it at the meeting that we went to in 20. I was thinking Enskede. Why can't I remember the right name of this place? Yes, 20. Which, you were there, Jean.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No. I know you missed a meeting, and so there may have been. You missed the one in TNO. On which project? Sorry, I didn't get that. Verbmobile, right? Yes, yes, they did. Well, that's what Alex talked about yesterday, right? The parse, I mean, that wasn't something she did, but that's the data she's using, right? So we have all that stuff here, you know, the parsed verbmobile material. So you can look at that and see what the parse trees look like. You don't need to wait for DFKI. And if it turns out that you think, oh, there's no way I can map these into Penn Tree Bank style bracketing, then we have to think of something else, right? But I think they had that in mind, so it's worth also talking to her about that. Okay, good. Everybody always says there's no data like more data. You know, I mean, the typical thing is to do leave one out cross-validation with, you know, 89 dialogues. Okay, so I train on 88 and then, or I train on 1,999 and okay, but we should speak to Steve. We might have some. Well, the question is, what is chunking going to help? I mean, I think chunking could help automatic dialogue act segmentation. I think chunking could help, as you mentioned, named entity recognition. Well, we'd want to make sure we're pretty happy that it's reliable,
yes,
because, yeah, I mean, otherwise you get these very bizarre results because the data's not really very good. So But I nobody has expressed like massive interest in chunking, so I think, you know, nobody is waiting for it, but we could I think we should talk to Barbara about how to do some joint experiments, or if she's going to be sending other people, maybe Liz or whoever comes over next time. And it would actually be great if it was Liz, because I think she is the one who did the dialogue act segmentation automatic. She just said that hopefully by the next meeting she would be bringing someone else, or someone else would be coming instead of her. Remember? Not to have it done, but just to talk about how it could interact with automatic dialogue act segmentation. And I guess we should talk to Yoshi about it in relationship to named entities. Who's doing named entities besides Yoshi? Okay, so we could talk to Vessel about that as well. And then, so one thing that would be very helpful for me, because I haven't read, I think we're in a situation where Jean, you know, has read a lot of literature, and I've read a lot of literature, and there is some overlap, but there's also quite a big space where we don't know the literature from the other side. And since you're going to be reading it, I mean, it would be probably be useful if you made some kind of, you know, report that described, you know, okay, this is what these people, you know, this is, you know, a synthesis. Okay, here's the basic idea behind exchange structure, and, you know, here's a couple of, you know, here's the two most relevant works that I've read, or something like that, you know, to just. Or even just like a paragraph of, you know, the basic idea, just because, you know, obviously, I'm not going to go off and read all this kind of stuff because I don't have time. And you probably don't have time to read all this collaborative problem solving. So. Well, and anyway, every time you write a paper, you've got to go back and do this related work thing anyway. So it just makes it a lot easier to get that common ground, I think, you know. I think it's a real advantage that we've read different things and come at it from a different side, because I think the previous approaches haven't really, you know, taken, you know, the good features from, you know, both sides and tried to put them together. Yeah, me too. I can send you a. Well, I think we both want to send. Well, I don't know. Maybe you've already done this, but you know, I will send you, or we can, you know, chat offline for a minute about a list of things that I think you really need to take a look at. And Jean, probably maybe you should do the same. And if Sabrina has any ideas, we'd be happy to hear from Sabrina as well. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're making progress on this. So we've already got, you know, he's going to construct a list of references he thinks is important that Johanna and I and you as well are going to contribute to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can put that on the wiki, or we can do it some other way. I mean, you know I'm looking at that, so
Well, I think we need to, like you mentioned earlier, factor in what this might be used for in the end. And so even if it won't be used, maybe if it would need some higher level analysis before it could be directly used for that purpose, we should still keep that in mind. And so I think going through the presentations that were given at the Work Package 6 meeting where and I think was it Anita or was it, I've forgotten her name, the other woman from Twente, you know, they talked about, they had done a lot of questionnaires and they got some user requirements out of that. And then Steve presented the results of following people around and looking at how they used their notes from meetings. And so that would give us some ideas about, you know, what people want, you know, out of meeting records. But then we should also add things that we think are interesting. But just to keep some of these goals in mind, because one scheme might let you answer this set of questions, but wouldn't help you at all with another set of questions. So should we expect that all the slides from like the Work Package 6 meeting or the joint Work Package 5 will be up on one of the Work Package websites? And if not, how do we make that happen?
I'll think about that.
Okay. Some of this was presented in at least the one Spiderphone or the second Spiderphone telcon I went to for Work Package 6. So if they're not on the web, we can try to look at that, you know, at the materials that were presented in that telcon without necessarily listening to the whole telcon. Yeah. And Steve and his, I've forgotten the name, was it Simon? His, yeah. They I think they may have written this up in a report, but I would hope that's on the Work Package 6 website as well. I do is once he's read a couple more,
yeah.
I mean, he's just completely missed out the collaborative problem solving world, which I really think we need to take into account. I mean, you may take it into account and say, no, you're wrong and here's why, but I'm going to need some convincing. or two and see this one gives you this and this one and can't, you know, are they fundamentally incompatible or can we? Yeah. Mhm.
When do we get together?
Okay. I think this is going to take about 3 weeks because he's got plenty of reading to do.
Uh-huh.
So maybe we get together again in
that though, so
the yeah. I mean, I'll send him the references immediately. Is that enough time for you? Do you think? Is that enough time for you to read and think about? If it's too tight. You know, I think we can say 4. Are you going to be on holiday?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe 4 weeks? Okay. Okay. So we should get together probably in about 4 weeks. Yes. So when are you going to bring this beautiful baby in to see everybody? Good. Good. That's great. Yep. Well, good luck solving your problem. I have to tick and tick. It does something weird when you do that.
Thank you.